Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. We're hearing together how he opens this letter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word to us, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may put our trust in the Son of David, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Sometimes things become relevant and meaningful to us, even if we want reality to be otherwise. In January of 2020, I was holidaying in Perth with my uncle and auntie and family. And I saw on the news come up a story about a virus which had begun in China. And I paid it scant attention. Viruses come up, we've seen this before. As I was on holidays, a few more stories were coming up, and again, I didn't pay that much attention to it. Of course, you know what I'm talking about, COVID. After a while, the stories swamped us, and after a while, the reality did. And before you knew it, here we were in Adelaide, not coming to church on a Sunday because our society was in lockdown. Our lives, at least to some extent, had to conform to this reality that surrounded us, that there was this disease out in our community. And the reality of this disease hasn't stopped even today. My wife, Margaret, was meant to be cantor at this service. She has COVID. I was the one coming back from Indonesia. You think I'd be the one with COVID? She's at home. She has it. I tested this morning, by the way, all clear, just so you know. Okay. It's relevant, right? Even if we don't want it to be. It's news because it's dealing with what's happening in our world, our wider world, and yet here we are. Now today, I'm proclaiming news from the Romans, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Not bad news of sickness and plague and lockdown, but good news that God has acted in a way that breaks through what we find relevant to bring us into a reality that includes not only us, but the generations past and any generations to come. God has acted in a way to give us what is lastingly true and good and beautiful. Jesus Christ, the descendant of David, the one who had Joseph as his adopted father and Mary as his mother. He is the one who is risen from the dead and who gives us his Holy Spirit so that we, Gentiles by birth, can live as the faithfully obedient people of the one true God, and so share in the life of God. Now let's listen to how St. Paul begins his letter to the Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. In the ancient world, it was normal when you wrote a letter to someone to say up front, who was writing. They weren't envelopes with, you know, return addresses on the back. And in fact, ancient letters are a bit more like modern emails. Even before you open it, you can see on the top line who it's from. The sender is the main thing up front. So St. Paul is writing to Christians in Rome, and first of all, he's saying who the letter is from, who he is, and giving them a clue about why he is writing. Often St. Paul, by the way, wrote to Christians that he knew very well, to congregations that he himself may have established, but had never been to Rome. There were evidently some people there that he knew, but he's writing to a new congregation. Now note, first of all, how St. Paul talks about himself as a servant of God. That is, someone who does his master's will rather than his own. For St. Paul, this is not a negative or a restriction on his freedom as a human being. He doesn't have a calling from a tyrant. And he's not the servant simply of a human being with the normal human fallibilities. He is sent by and has a calling from God. St. Paul didn't choose this calling. It was given to him. He was called to be an apostle. An apostle means someone who is sent, in this case sent by the Lord, and is acting as his herald, and more than his herald, also his ambassador, representing the Lord Jesus to the people of God and to the wider community. Now, St. Paul says that he's set apart for the gospel of God. And we can sometimes take the gospel to mean the first four books of the New Testament. But of course, St. Paul is not using the term gospel in this way. The word that we translate gospel is in Greek euangelion, and it wasn't primarily a religious word. It was a normal secular word. Listen to this note by commentator on what that word meant in the context of St. Paul's world. In the ancient world, a euangelion, gospel, was the announcement of a world-changing event, often a spectacular military triumph or the accession of a new ruler, the kind of screaming headline that would get wall-to-wall coverage in today's media. The gospel, in other words, is a great announcement that has relevance to our lives, whether we pay attention to it or not. The gospel, the great news, prepares us, in other words, to receive this new reality. In some sense, the news of COVID was a gospel, but not a good news gospel. It was a great announcement, what was happening. It was changing our world, and the news prepared us for the reality to come. Think about this now in a positive sense. St. Paul is saying he has a great announcement that is relevant to the human community, whether they receive it or not. And the good news is about what God is doing. Listen, in fact, to how St. Paul goes on to speak about this gospel, about this world-changing event that God has done. St. Paul says the gospel, which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. Now, this great announcement has specific content. And in fact, in the book of Romans, St. Paul goes on to unpack what gospel means. So if you want to get a good idea of what the great announcement of God is, the book of Romans is a great place to start. And you can return to it again and again throughout your lives, as I'm sure, in fact, many of you here have done. St. Paul talks, first of all, about the gospel being already promised in the scriptures in what we would call the Old Testament. We had an example of that today in Isaiah. We'll hear more examples about this from the Old Testament in our lessons and carols service this evening. Now, St. Paul says that the Holy Scriptures give the promise of God that's now come to fruition in his Son, a human being born of David's line. In the kids' address, I talked today about the Jesse tree, Jesse, David's father, and David the king. And if you read the Bible, you'll know that David had one-sided promises made to him by God. And it's because there's this promise given by God to David that God's people had messianic hopes when Jesus was alive, and that we understand that Jesus is the son of David, the one in whom the promise is fulfilled. I'll read this promise to you. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's a promise made to David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This messianic promise, St. Paul is saying, God has fulfilled in a specific human being. But St. Paul's great announcement is not just that God has fulfilled his promise in this king to come, but that this king's reign is not circumscribed by death. Listen to what St. Paul writes. This man was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by resurrection from the dead. In our world, when the monarch dies, their reign is over. We all saw the death of our Queen this year, and now we have, well, I was going to say Prince Charles as our King. He's now King Charles. When I was in Indonesia during the week, I was showing some of them Australian money, and now the picture of the Queen is on our $5 note. But I said, well, not for long. No doubt soon enough, our new monarch will be there, King Charles. In our world, when kings die, that is the end of their reign. But this man, St. Paul is saying, was and is the one king who is enthroned not ultimately in life, but in death. And it was in his resurrection that this son of David was revealed to be also the Son of God. And it's at this point that St. Paul now names the one who he's talking about, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the name is a big deal. Did you hear in our gospel reading today that the name comes up and that Jesus' father gave Jesus the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves? In our own lives, we know that people get our attention when they use our name. Even in a crowded room, if someone says our name, suddenly we tune in. It's a mysterious human reality, as far as I know, still unexplained by psychologists, how this actually happens. Are we hearing everything? Or do we just have a filter which filters out everything except our name? And I wonder how now artificial intelligence and voice recognition deals with the same problem. Obviously it works somehow. The name, though, is important. It means the Lord saves. And Christ, of course, is not a name for Jesus, but his last name, but his title. It means the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one in whom the promises made to David have been fulfilled, the one through whom God's good and gracious will is done. So Paul then goes on to share with the Roman Christians what his own task is as a servant and apostle of the Lord. He says this, through whom we, that is St. Paul and his apostolic co-workers, have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. St. Paul and his fellow apostles have received the calling and the favour of God to bring people to a trusting and obedient life with the one who sent them. That's the obedience of faith. And it's not only for descendants of Abraham according to the flesh, but for all people, for the nations, for Gentiles, also for us. So you can again see how when St. Paul is proclaiming this great message, he understands that it's relevant whether the human community understands it or not, that God is acting, and St. Paul is acting as a herald, telling people about what God is doing, and more than this, an ambassador, bringing them into a new relationship with God. Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of Mary, but also the Son of God, the one in whom we have the gifts from God, including the Holy Spirit, who grows the good fruit of faith in our lives. Now Christmas is almost upon us. Here we are at the fourth Sunday of Advent. Tonight we have our lessons and carol service. Next week we celebrate the incarnation of the Lord, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, to bring change to our lives, light into our world, and hope with God. Also to change us so that we, as God's people in this world, may be agents of mercy, forgiveness, and peace as we live as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. So let's receive this message proclaimed by the apostles, listen to the great announcement, and think about what God is doing for us. There are things that are naturally relevant to us as human beings and relevant in our own lives. But what we feel is relevant to us is not circumscribed by our feelings, but by reality. So Paul was proclaiming a message given by God, a message that we receive and hand on 2,000 years later, a message which still goes out into our world to bring people to hope, to bring people who are not Jewish by birth, but Gentiles, to worship the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. So let's receive forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Let's live peacefully because of this, and glorify our Father in heaven as we show love to all people, especially also, we could say, to the household of faith. In Jesus' name, Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.